on SOFpodcast.com, iTunes, and on Square One Football Radio. This is The Sound of Football.
Hello and welcome to this week's Sound of Football. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Terry DeFellin and Jan Bilton. There's no match on in the background, so we're not being distracted by football. But this week, it's a bit about distractions. It's about distractions, about things that drag your attention away from football. And also how we watch football. Is it changing? Is it changing for the better or is it changing for the worse? Last week, Terry, there was a bit of a brouhaha on social media. Well, the social media that we read anyway. About stats. And there was some pieces in the Guardian and on other football blogs about how the importance of stats in the modern game, and also there was counter arguments about what a big load of hooey they all are. Now let's not get into the whole argument because that was
last week.
That was a bit last week, and also as well is, you know, it means we have to go into detail, and you know, listeners, if you've been with us for any amount of time, you'll know that detail is something that we think, you know, you're better off not knowing. But
not from us, anyway.
Yeah, not from us. Definitely not from us. But it did sort of bring in my mind about the fact that of how much information we do get about football nowadays. The fact that we get so much football anyway, there is so much to watch, to a point where we can feel that we don't even have to watch it. We can be on our social media. We can be looking at the stats as they build up on Soccerway or whatever, and just look at the game through that way. And, you know, if we miss the game, we can always read any number of reviews and match reports and player stats and player ratings afterwards on the internet webs. Do you think the amount of information we're getting now, you know, is it mushrooming?
It's hard to deal with it, I think.
Yeah.
I find that I can't even sit down and watch any television programme without fiddling with something else, so to speak.
I'm constantly
checking news or playing a game or checking, you know, feed updates and things like that.
Yeah.
It's just mad. And actually, my attention span's just got to the, you know, it's just like a goldfish. I'd have to be doing something else while I'm doing something else. So watching football, for example, I was mentioning before, when I watch the Champions League, I have it on my telly and I have my iPad on as well. I have a different game on and I'll be playing on my phone at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, because I've been down to football with the both of you before, and we've gone to the back out to watch the game for the second half a few minutes late, I must admit, you know, because, you know, we've been in the bar. But we have had to check Twitter to see what the score is, haven't we?
Yeah, I don't know why we can't just ask somebody, but I suppose that's our lack of social skills.
No, because we know the score's going to be there on Twitter, don't we?
And then we don't look foolish.
Yeah.
Turn up and, although, in fairness, people do usually do volunteer the score if we do come in. And
yeah. I wouldn't admit myself that I've missed goals down there because I've had my face... I get, like, looking at my telephone screen.
Yeah, definitely. Lord, I've missed probably 50%. Really?
And that's either like checking like Premier League scores, Bundesliga scores, or
just Twitter. Who's making an arse of themselves on Twitter at that particular moment? There's usually someone,
and usually one of the people who's standing right next to you.
Indeed, yeah.
I actually watched a game of football on Twitter.
Did you? Well, you actually watched someone's minute-by-minute updates? Or was it the whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing. I just plugged in Sunderland and I just watched it through. And I think it was the first game I'd done that. I do this all the time now. It's really quite sad. I just sit there flicking my screen watching the updates come through. And it was quite an exciting game. I think playing QPR a season or so ago. And it was 3-2 or something. I was going backwards and forwards with the goals. And I was just going, oh my God, this is brilliant.
It is quite good, actually.
I've done that in short bursts myself, actually. But I would say that there is a problem because a lot of the people I follow are in North America, and sometimes their feeds can be a couple of minutes behind. So all of a sudden, you're reading like a list of things going on, and then all of a sudden you've got people talking about like
goal,
there's a goal.
There's another one.
Oh, there's another goal.
I do enjoy that the Americans going, oh my God, my feed is like 2 minutes behind. That's really funny. You know, that's what you get when you use shonky feeds, though.
Yeah, that is. Shonky illegal feeds.
Yes. Fair enough.
Yeah, it'd be interesting though. It's like, because this is like the one thing that they just can't crack down on, is it really? They certainly don't want to stop people talking about the game, but it's like it is like a full match commentary, but from people around you in the stadium, isn't it?
Yeah. If they had a way of or just watching it, you know, in front of their laptops or on their TVs.
Yeah.
If they had, I'm probably referring to companies like Dataco or something like that, who had the opportunity to commodify. Well, in fact, that's what a lot of companies do. They try to commodify social media output on Twitter and people's tweets. They have second screen apps with statistics going on, and then you can log in and they import, you know, feeds, and you know, they say, oh, use this hashtag. And
off football, I found something out today was the fact that that a local photographer to this area is trying to claim copyright on a hashtag.
Oh, that's interesting.
He uses this hashtag called Visions of Croydon, right, which it sounds like a wonderful oxymoron, but it's there. And he tries to claim copyright if anyone tries to use it with a photo.
Yeah,
and say no, this is my hashtag.
I don't think it works that way.
I don't think it works that way. But I mean, like,
we'll find out.
Go out and take a photograph.
Even if you haven't actually got a picture of Croydon, just take a picture of some lump of concrete and just put hashtag Visions of Croydon there.
See what he says. Yeah. The whole thing about content created on social media is that it's essentially up pretty much out in the open. I mean, there are grey areas, like if you publish pictures that are under copyright, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know, a hashtag, that sounds like a strange thing. But you often, like, for instance, you'll find new social networks that are being set up and people having accounts set up in their name from their original Twitter account in social networks that they have nothing to do with.
Yeah.
And they've never even visited or even heard of. And next thing you know, they think, oh, hang on, I appear to have an account for this social network, let's say Medium, for example. A clout is another one, and this is because your social media, your network media output to an extent is out there in the public domain. And so to get back to topic, you'll find second screen apps who say build upon statistics or build upon community, importing a great deal of social media content into their own app and then trying to make money out of it. And that's I don't know how I feel about that. I think to an extent you have to accept that if it's out there, it's out there.
Mm.
I'm not quite sure it's a very good way of making money, but I don't know. It depends on what you're trying to do. But I suppose it comes on to that other thing about appreciating football and the way in which you appreciate football. And I suppose that's probably perhaps deep down why some people are opposed to the idea of too much sort of like statistical analysis and too much statistical data being offered up by some providers, because they're concerned maybe deep down that they're commodifying the watching of football matches. They're not commodifying the game itself, they're commodifying people watching it, and that they're saying, you know, you will not be able to appreciate this match unless you have all this data to sit alongside you. You won't understand it in the way that you would do if you just watched it on the television,
yeah.
or God forbid, if you just go to the game.
No,
and I mean, I don't know whether or not I think that kind of that rubs me up a little bit of the wrong way as well. Yeah. And this kind of idea of commodifying appreciation, watching football, just I don't think that's a very good thing.
But is that is it? Could the same be said of chalkboards and
yeah,
and things like
but
that.
There's a balance to be struck. Yeah. There's a balance between having something that is a genuine aid and helps you, you know, enjoy and appreciate football, and then maybe going a little bit further and saying, look, you know, your level of understanding of a football match and appreciation of a football match is diminished unless you are unless you're au fait with the statistics. And I suspect that that's possibly what rankles people the most about, I mean, the people who are opposed to statistics or take a sort of sceptical view of statistics. It's not the stats themselves, it's not the data themselves, it's perhaps the people who wield it and maybe are looking for ways of trying to make money out of you.
Is this something in excess of what you see at half time and
considerably? Yeah.
Is it like the Opta kind of?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them. I mean, not Opta specifically, and I'm anxious to avoid discussing brands as well because I don't want to go down that road. And you know, as a co-organizer of the Socrates bloggers meetup, you know, we might rely on these brands to perhaps sponsor events in the future. So I don't want to start slagging off companies just when I'm expressing an opinion. But there are some applications that provide you with a whole plethora of extraordinary statistics about, you know, pass completion, about tackles, one-on-ones, headers won, headers lost, you know, completed pass, shots on target, shots not on target, all there for you to sort of like, you know, try and make some kind of sense of.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and there I've detected with some of the people in some instances that there's this notion, as I was saying earlier, that you know, if you're not aware of what's going on in terms of the data, then you're kind of not doing it properly. And I think that I don't like that at all. I'm misunderstanding that, but I mean, sometimes you just feel as if that's the inference.
Yeah, I think there is a. For me, like, stats always used to be something that you could just. It was just something that commentators said when the balls weren't being kicked. It was like saying, you know, X club hasn't won at X stadium for 17 seasons. Had no relevance on what the result of the actual...
No, just to add colour.
Yeah, game's
going to... We do that on Talking Fußball.
Yeah.
We come up with a bunch of historical stats based upon how long it's been since club A beat club B at...
Yeah,
X state.
And it's,
and it means nothing.
It's just tinsel,
it's
isn't
just
it? Basically,
it's just to add colour, you know, to the and you know, presumably to an extent to demonstrate that you've been paying attention. I mean, it's just a sort of like, and that is reason enough for including them because it just adds a bit of flavour, adds a bit of colour, and just helps you perhaps supply some kind of context. But you know, it means nothing in terms. I mean, football clubs and football teams change and they're in transition and players leave, and that it doesn't really matter whether or not you lost 7-1 to Bayern Munich 5 years ago, because you know your team's probably almost completely changed by that point.
Yeah.
I suppose it's, you know, I quite like looking at art and paintings and stuff like that, and I like looking at them because they look pretty and they look nice and they're nice things to look at. But I'm not really interested in the technicalities of brush strokes and depth.
Then you're wrong.
And stuff like that. Well, because otherwise I'd be doing it myself rather than just appreciating it. So I think that you're right. It just I think it would seek to spoil it if you were made to to think like that.
I mean,
I suggest you have a look at some heat maps. I think you'd really like them.
I forgot heat maps as well. another one.
Heat maps have become an easy target, though, I think, haven't they, really?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, well, I think that's the day I've started using heat maps, is that right?
I think everyone's starting using heat
maps.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm familiar. I've seen a lot of heat maps, you know, because the Bundesliga official website has been in doing good stats for a long time. I mean, and I stress, I personally enjoy statistics. You know, I quite like all of that stuff, but I mean, I don't know whether or not my understanding or appreciation is enhanced by using it. I just have a look at these stats and have them often from watching a game, and I'll have a second screen with the Bundesliga website, and I'll have some stats, you know, just simply for nothing more than my own gratification.
So, I mean, I think, you know, if I we go back to the premise of this discussion, which is like the amount of distraction in football, though, I think it's a lot of the things to do with statistics is the ones we see at the half-time ad breaks, where you've got some stat coming up about, you know, Man United have scored X goals in the first 5 minutes after half-time. And then a screen will flip around and will say, Man United score next.
Yeah.
Five times.
Do you think it's a ploy just to get more money out of your gambling?
Well, this is another thing.
Another element
of the distractions is the amount of gambling there is on football now.
Yeah.
You know, with Accas, which, you know, we've all done occasionally.
I mean, statistics don't serve any relevance when it comes to putting your Acca together. That's just a lottery.
Most people would say, well, yes, they do, because like if you study them, you would be able to know.
There's way too many variables in an Acca for the statistics to mean anything.
Didn't you have something earlier on this season? Something was in your inbox about...
Yes.
Someone basically saying that they could predict football with 70% accuracy or something.
They had an algorithm that they claimed could predict the outcome of football matches with, I can't remember the stat I said at the time. I was watching it on Channel 4 News before we recorded one. One night, and it was quite amazing until you actually go on the website and look at what they did get right and what they did get wrong.
Yeah,
and you know they got as many. Right as they got wrong, so you'd be just as well to flip a coin.
Yeah. You're right 51% of the time, you're wrong 49% of the time.
If you're a gambler,
yeah,
then statistics and analytics in football, I think, can be of value to you, but only up to a point, because you know.
Well, I think it depends what you're using them for. It's like I think a De Bono quote, which is people use statistics like a drunk uses a lamppost. More for support than elimination. it's that sort of relationship, isn't it? Really, where you say, "Oh, look, I was right, and here's why."
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you're wrong, you just forget that they ever existed. But yeah.
So the last email I got from them, I don't use this. I just looked at it, signed up, so I could see some of the stuff that they have hidden. But it's last week we had a 63.6% accuracy in our top predictions. Which is just better than 50-50.
Yeah, there's an awful lot to go wrong there, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a hell of a lot to go wrong. So it sometimes makes me think that this onslaught of information, even when you're just watching a TV program, if you're sitting playing on your phone or whatever, then there's ads going on. There's ads on the screen. There's ads in the ground. There's ads on shirts. There's information being thrown around, stats on this, stats on that. I'm just wondering whether it just disorientates people to such an extent that they become very susceptible to the products that are being chucked at them at half time. So why don't you gamble a bit more? Because gambling's an impulse thing. People do it based on, I've got to do that.
Yeah.
It's not like buying a car. Or anything else.
No, it's like when it's Grand National Day and people gamble because it's Grand National Day, not because they feel any urge to be interested in the race.
I'm no psychologist, but you know, if you've got someone who's disoriented, they're going to be more likely to make a rash decision, a quick decision on something. And it's an interesting idea because
if you think about it, the whole thing about the way football is presented to you is quite a disorientating.
Look at the colours that are used.
It's all constant bombardment of how important the next match is, the next game is. Keep watching the football.
Fancy graphics.
You just have to look. I mean, like if you've never seen Sky Sports News before.
Sky Sports News is just, difficult to watch.
Yeah, if you've never seen it before, you think, what the hell is going on here? Do I have to take all of this in?
And it is really, really vivid, isn't it? It gets more and more vivid. I mean, Sky Sports...
it gets frantically vivid on transfer
deadline day when they were all matching the yellow ticker in their get-up. Natalie Sawyer was wearing this... lemon yellow dress and Jim was wearing a, and I think Kate Abdo was also dressed similarly, Jim White was wearing a yellow and yellow tie to match the colour
and
of
a suit.
The and a suit, obviously. Yeah. It was not just the wear of the tie. And to match the yellow tickers going along just to ramp up the urgency.
Every time you see yellow there's something.
Sky in particular do this thing, you know, where they all deck themselves out in very smart dress, you know, to denote that this stuff is important and it's important to us because it's how we make our money. And it's important to you because this is, you know, the stuff that, you know, you concentrate on, you know, when you're not working, when you're not, you know, preoccupied with more mundane and, shall we say, less fun things. And that is also very, very important. And that, and yeah, the vividness of the presentation and the brands and the adverts and and everything just flying around the screen. And then sometimes you can go along to you know you're an actual football match and you could be forgiven for thinking that it's a little bit drab.
where's the dancing girls?
Yeah. I mean, and you know, where's all the bright flashing colours? And also when you all sat there, you know, looking at Twitter, you know, and then you miss a goal, where's the replay? Especially anywhere lower than a second division, third division ground. I mean, you know, you've got no replay and you end up feeling like a complete schmuck because you're never gonna see that goal ever again.
Yes. You could have been one of the few witnesses to it
and there have been times when they go, wow, that was brilliant, that was an amazing goal. And you just think, oh crap, I was looking at bloody football. I was looking at the Dortmund score at the time. You know, it's not good. I mean, when I do stuff for the German podcast and we do reviews of the Champions League, I have to sit down. I have to put all my technology over here and I have to get a pad and paper out. And I have to write down with a pen and make notes with a pen and paper and watch the game and do nothing but watch the game. It's actually quite hard to sit there for focus on nothing but a football match.
Well, just trying to ignore the peripheral.
And don't think about anything else. Just focus on what the players are doing on the pitch. Don't even try to get caught up too much in what the commentators are saying because you don't want your opinions to be informed by what commentators are saying. You don't want to find yourself guilty of borrowing opinions because you're expected to generate original content and analyse and say something that you're expecting. It's not like when you come on here or can you for 20 minutes your opinion on this and that. You know, when you're expected to say, to remember exactly what happened, who did what, when, how and stuff like that. It's actually, you know, it's not the easiest thing to do, and it's a reminder of just how, I think, to an extent, how much has changed, how much football, watching football has changed, particularly from a complete experience, maybe not so much at the grounds, but certainly on the television. It's changed, I think. Mm.
It makes me think of commercial radio, because there's a lot of great stuff that's played on commercial radio stations, depending on which ones you listen to, but they exist only to attract advertising.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's all they exist to do.
Yeah, of course.
And it's like
their money.
Yeah, I know. That's
any commercial media
big,
is just there just to fill up the gaps between adverts.
Yeah, sure. I know that's no big revelation, but it strikes me that football's become a lot like that it doesn't exist for the sport anymore, and it only exists for the advertising.
But what annoys me about that,
and that's what you get thrown at you the whole time,
is that football isn't free though. Yeah. That's the thing that my stepdad talks about this a lot. I mean, and he complains about how you pay all this money to, you know, a sports channel to watch, he watches cricket. And he says, and they're still chucking these adverts in every year. And people are paying through the nose.
Yeah.
And they're still being bombarded by people trying to sell you shit. Yes. You know, I mean, like, it's
I'm paying for that. I'm paying for that advert.
I'm paying for the advert to be delivered
to
me.
When you acknowledge paywalls and you decide to pay for content, say for a website, and it usually it comes through, it's pretty clean, it's ad free, you know, because you're paying a premium to just access the content, so you're already paying. And I think what annoys people is that you pay all this money and you're still getting all this crap that you would normally get on free to air commercials, and I think that's what winds quite a lot of people up. I mean, is that? I mean, you know, if it's free to air, then, well, you know, it's tough. You know, the adverts have to pay for it, because if you're not going to pay for it, then someone else has got to. But if you're already paying a subscription, it is like having adverts on the BBC. We haven't got adverts on the BBC because we pay a subscription, albeit a compulsory subscription.
But it is pretty good content.
Well, I would say yes. But, you know, that is only my opinion and not the opinion of anyone who might be paying my wages.
Well, I think we've distracted you enough, listeners, on this on this subject.
You missed so many goals.
No one's been listening to this. I've been about on their Twitter feeds.
There'll be people there, and they'll be going through Twitter right now, going, "Hang on, what? What were they talking about?" It doesn't matter.
But it was we got some feedback from last week, though, didn't we?
Sorry.
It was if you listened last week, it was our discussion about 3G pitches. Well, it wasn't really a discussion; it was us tub thumping about their
We said qualities. They were great, and we said anybody who said differently was wrong.
Basically, and it was followed up by some good news. Because Whiteleaf had been given permission by the local authority to build their 3G pitch.
Indeed. Relevant news for all of you international listeners.
Relevant news.
Yes.
Well, it's actually relevant news to me, because, you know, it's only just over the hill. But
it's all there. Oh, if any of our international listeners want to come down to Whiteleaf, the chances are the game will be on. This is obviously from next season, though.
Next August. So it's being built over the summer.
Fantastic news. And we did get some feedback. So thank you to everybody who offered us some feedback. Two unfortunates, Cold End as well, said thanks very much for the podcast. 3G for Us, which is obviously some campaign for 3G pitches, also with some very kind words. And Andre Doublezin wanted to just send us some pictures of Australian weather.
Which
is kind of him.
It was very kind of him, but we all know what your sunny weather does, Andre. It burns down your houses, doesn't it, really?
Yes, quite so. Finally, Stato_74, Andrew Rockall.
Resident referee.
Our resident referee, indeed, you're here to keep order and make certain that discipline is maintained. Regarding 3G pitches, I found that they have less give in them, and that's where injuries seem to happen more. Are there not more injuries nowadays due to modern, better pitches being harder? Spurs rested players for games in Europe on 3G, he says. So, a note of dissent there from Andrew Rockall. Yeah. Not sure how we feel about that. We're not really about
it's been noted.
Democratic discourse here. we prefer to just be, right. And that's basically it. So thank you, everybody, for your kind words and appreciation. It's nice to get some feedback.
Yes, lovely. Lovely feedback. And if you want to add any feedback about the subject we covered today, about distractions, or if not, you could watch something on telly or just look at Twitter. Do whatever you like.
YouTube videos of cats, I think, is the thing.
We do like cats.
Get some. I've got some real cats, and they're very distracting.
or celebrities being fished out of lakes and stuff like that. Celebrities being, doing stuff.
Yes, but
plenty of lakes to choose from these days.
But we don't want any pictures of giraffes on our timeline.
Why not?
No.
You don't like giraffes?
Not this week.
Why?
You've missed something.
I missed something.
Yeah, you've been too busy looking at football.
Yeah, you haven't been concentrating.
Right, anyway, listen, after the music, we've got some more top trumps, but we'll say our goodbyes now, because that's what we do.
We do. We're polite people, and we say goodbye.
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 You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Yes, and you join us again for another round of Sound of Football Top Trumps. You, the listeners, won again last week, Terry, though, come on, it's been a long time now.
It has been a long time.
Yeah.
I think it's been a little bit too long.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think the lads need to put in a shift this time round. See if we can get.
You've got a tight unit there now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We've been going through some moves on the training ground, and we feel as if we're ready to turn the corner.
Is the pressure building?
Yeah. Well, there's always pressure, as you know. Graham, there's always pressure. You just have to take it on the chin.
Well, it's good that you actually come to the press conference, which is, I know some people wouldn't do that. I mean, I know Jan's like welched out the last four of them, you know, after some terrible results.
Well,
he's been sending his number two in there instead.
Yes, like. very pungent number two they are too.
in a little cardboard box.
Media work is
I like to share.
Media work is essential when it comes to top trumps, particularly, professional level top trumps.
Right. Well, we asked you earlier, the listeners on our Twitter feed, to pick what snap you wanted from your card, who is Daniele De Rossi. And you chose, unanimously, caps.
Caps.
International caps. Now, as I have to advise, the deck we're using is European Football Stars, and the information is accurate as of the 30th of March 2012. As of that time, Daniele De Rossi had 71 caps. 71 caps. Now, Jan, can you give me the name of your car? And the number of caps he's got.
Kaka.
Ooh.
Caps.
Caps.
82.
Oh!
So you jinxed it by saying it's all your fault.
Why?
Well, I've got Zlatan. Caps.
Oh!
75.
Oh! Oh.
So you jinxed it. And now,
football's coming home. It's coming home.
Oh.
It's coming home. It's coming home. Football's coming home.
Oh, it was like I knew the stats before I even started there, wasn't it?
Yes, it's like you did, isn't it? Yeah.
So until next time, listeners, goodbye.
I'm not saying anything.
Bye.
I've got the right umpire.